It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this, the 14th day of September 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Yes, indeed. And if you pop by right now, this very instant, if you're listening live, that is, this does not apply for podcast listeners. But right now, early arrivers, Roger in Oregon and Squeaky will be happy to greet you upon your arrival, and you will be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, still does not wish to fold space into the blazing heart of the man cave. Yes. Hi, I'm Robin. And the first thing we do every program here is thank our subscribers, all of whom are partial sponsors of the program. And in this case, that means thanks going out to our 14th day of the month subscribers. And in particular, that means thank you to Matt in San Francisco. Thank you, Matt, so very kindly. And thanks to Ralphs. Thank you both for being partial sponsors of the program. And where that means we are as far as fundraising is concerned, we still got $30 to go to finish fundraising for last Thursday, 2 days before this Thursday. And then we got $300 to raise for last Friday, $300 for yesterday, and $300 today. So the fundraising goal is $930. Thank you so very kindly for all that you all do to keep this program on the air and keep this community together. I can never adequately thank you all for making this all work. And, of course, it is Titanic Tuesday. We take note of manifestations of Titanic intellect. And, we've got plenty of that full steam ahead right at the old iceberg. Yeah, I know. And we'll be getting into that in fairly short order. Oh, my God, Sparky said, check your Skype messages. Okay. Well, look, every little bit helps. Cow's toilet train to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Well, I guess that's one form of carbon capture and storage now, isn't it? Ooh, I'm kind of proud of that one. But let's get started with shots. Joey writes, I took Jeffrey into a chain restaurant here locally in West Akron, Ohio, a place I often took Richard because that was one of his favorite places to frequent. Jeffrey was sporting his Get Vaxxed little license plate hanging from his prongs in hope of encouraging people to get the vaccine. Most people loved Jeffrey, said he was cute, and agreed with a little sign on his forehead, Save my server. Yes, I mentioned to the server that I was happy she was wearing a mask, but sad that I could not see her smiling face. She had waited on Richard and me in the past, and a time that masks were not required. Much to our shock, the server shot back with great disdain. I'm only wearing the mask because I have to. I replied, as you should, and I hope you will get the vaccine as soon as possible. I assumed by her tone and her age that she had not gotten the vaccine, and I was correct. You know, these things. I remarked to someone up at one of the stores I visit from time to time. I said, it's getting a little crazy out there. We got to be super careful. She said, oh, yeah, I know. I said, you got the vaccine? She said, no, and not gonna either. And I'm like, oh, my God, really? But, well, what do you do? I mean, I'm kind of, I don't know about if Joey was, but that's kind of gross. I mean, here she is breathing all over your dinner. Much to Jeffrey and my shock, Joey writes, the server shot back with a real maskitude and said, that's none of your business. I shot back in a loud voice, oh, really? That's real fresh. I got news for you, Missy. You're serving mine and the public's food. It damn well is our business if you're protected from the virus. Furthermore, in general, you need to wise up a little bit, because if you're going to get smart with a customer, you should do so after they've tipped you and not before. Ooh! Now, anyone who knows me, especially those working in that establishment, know that I'm an extremely generous tipper, and I often give as much as 50%. I'll give 20% even if the service is terrible, but the server's trying. So much so that in the past I've gotten emails from my credit card company questioning the legitimacy of the tip that I submitted. I worked many years in retail, and like Matt in San Francisco, I know how hard that work is. However, this past Sunday, for the first time that I can remember, I gave nothing, and that rendered Jeffrey speechless. Yeah, he has some food for thought. I was irate. Get it? Irate. Oh, for God's sakes. And appalled with the way that woman acted. Well, just for her information, with Biden's vaccine mandate, hopefully that server and all the others are going to have to be vaccinated. Maybe, Robin, you can shed some light on this. I think all corporations with 100 or more people are to be vaccinated. Does that mean 100 people at just one venue, or in this case 100 people nationwide, considering this is a chain restaurant? I think it's any corporation with 100 employees, period. At least that's the way I read it. And Jeffrey wraps things up. But generally, I do not eat when I go to a restaurant because I'm stuffed. See, a little vacation did them good, too. However, I did make an exception and ate Robin's delicious grilled brisket at Maggie's while in West Virginia in June. It was so good. And speaking of shots, Aaron Burr died on this day in 1836 in Staten Island, New York. And he, of course, shot Alexander Hamilton in Weehawken, New Jersey. Weehawken sustained some serious flooding recently during Ida. Oh, I didn't know that. Jeffrey, with a waterlog. I'm not sure if Tara Devlin's home borough of Staten Island was flooded. That borough cannot sustain much more flooding because that borough is already flooded with maggots. Ironically, not far from where Hamilton was shot to death in the duel with Burr, Ida's waters touch a portion of that park area. The mayor of Weehawken, with the waters coming so close to the park of Hamilton's demise, has decided to rename the area. Oh, God, really? Hamilton Beach. Man, that's enough out of you, Jeffrey. Go get stuffed. I already am. Another prominent politician died on this day. President William McKinley passed away on this day in 1901 due to an assassin's gunshot. I was always curious, Robin, was McKinley eager to commence with the Spanish-American War, or was that the provoking of the Democratic Congress? The history books say that it was mostly provocation from William Randolph Hearst. Or maybe it was Joseph Pulitzer. I forget. You just give me the pictures, I'll give you the war, I think was the line. Finally, on this day in 1814, Francis Scott Key was inspired to write the poem Defense of Fort McHenry, which later became the Star-Spangled Banner. Jeffrey banters about the banner. Oh, I hate that song, and I refuse to stand for it because of its reference to slavery. You all know I really like getting high and staying high all day long, but for that song, I sit down. As far as I'm concerned, Francis's terrible song was really off key. Yeah. Speaking of which, the bridge that crosses from Rosslyn over the Potomac to Georgetown is called the Key Bridge. And it needs to stop being called the Key Bridge. Because Francis Scott Key was an unrepentant and merciless and vicious racist. This has been Joey's Journal for Tuesday, the 14th day of September, with Giraffrey hoping to ban the Banners song. And there's a $10 Ban the Banners challenge. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffrey. And we can add to that, Ralphs. Ralphs said, come on, I'll kick 20 bucks in if others kick in 20 bucks. So there's 30 bucks out there wanting desperately to be met. And doubled. So if anybody wants to help, it'd be a great time, because I really don't want to go into prayer meeting Wednesday with a four-digit hole to fill in. And it does. It just stresses me the hell out. And right now, I think if we raised every penny this evening, it would all be already gone because of what's waiting to be paid on this little month-to-month life that we live here. Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so we'll see where the program takes us. I hate it when this happens. I had to leave earlier a little bit ago because it's shot day here. I had to go get my loading dose of estrogen. I always feel better after that. Still been a couple of rough days, kind of painful, but still, it's always better to get after the shot. But anyway, somewhere along the way, I guess Microsoft decided to force through an update. And I hate it when that happens because it shuts down my browser and takes all my tabs with it. All gazillion of them. All my show prep. Just, boop, gone. So we'll find some way to get through the program because, my God, it's not like everybody's just been laying around being deadly dull today. Bob Woodward has cranked out another book. I think this is his third about the Nitwit Nero administration, and this may be the most harrowing one yet. The name of the book is Peril, and it basically tracks the last weeks of the Nitwit Nero maladministration. It'll be officially released, I think, on the 21st day of September. Birthday of a dear friend of mine, by the way. But apparently, based on reports from advance copies read by the likes of CNN and Esquire, and, well, most of it has to do with, or the most horrifying parts of it have to do with the things that General Mark Milley did to try to keep our fragile little teetering attempt at democracy alive. Because General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was quite convinced that Nitwit Nero had indeed gone around the bend. The term he used was significant mental decline, and was scared. And you know, when a four-star general is scared shitless, it's a good time for other people to be right terrified too. Oh yeah, he was afraid that Nitwit Nero would try to launch a military strike or a nuclear strike against China. Or maybe Iran. Everybody was on pins and needles. Gina Haspel, then the director of the CIA, was pretty well spazzed about it. I use that in the... well, not trying to be... insensitive, but yeah, she wasn't okay. And I'm sure Nitwit Nero has seen the stories by now. Among other things, Speaker Pelosi had a conversation with Milley, Mark Milley. She called him. And what Woodward and Robert Costa report is that they got their hands on a transcript of that call. And Mark Milley, General Milley, tried to put her at ease that everything was okay. Among other things, General Milley had a quiet back-channel phone call to his opposite in the People's Army, the Chinese People's Army, or People's Army of China, whatever. Milley was trying to stop what he was afraid was going to be the unleashing of a nuclear holocaust. And when he tried to reassure Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she said, "What I'm saying to you is that if they couldn't even stop him from an assault on the Capitol," this is in the aftermath of January 6th, "who even knows what else he may do? And is there anybody in charge at the White House who was doing anything but kissing his fat butt over all of this?" Yeah, see, Nitwit Nero is going to, well, 3, 2, 1. I'll have to check in a minute. There's probably already a stupid little press release out about it. And she went on, "You know he's crazy. He's been crazy for a long time." And in the book, Woodward and Costa claim that General Milley responded, "Madam Speaker, I agree with you on everything." And so he went back to his subordinates, who were themselves the very heads of the various military branches, and said, "You watch everything all the time." He got hold of the director of the National Security Agency, Paul Nakasone, and said, "Needles up, keep watching, scan." And conversing with Gina Haspel at CIA, said, "Aggressively watch everything, 360. And as Woodward and Costa put it, "Milley was overseeing the mobilization of America's national security state without the knowledge of the American people or the rest of the world." And I don't know quite how to take that sentence. Is that a critique? Because it doesn't sound like a mere statement of fact. It feels like it's carrying some extra weight. And it's terrifying to think about. It's got a kind of a Cuban Missile Crisis flavor to it. That we didn't know, some of us suspected, but we did not know just how close we were getting, had gotten, to losing everything. The whole shebang, the whole shooting match. And so, after the fact, how do we respond to that? And again, the question always devils me. And if I'm being a curmudgeon, I apologize. I will get an email from Steve in 3, 2, 1 telling me to stop apologizing. But I do. I'm not trying to be deliberately cantankerous. But when you've got information like this, where is that line between the right of a people who supposedly govern themselves to know how much peril they are in and the needs of Messrs. Woodward and Costa to make bank? Anybody? Anybody know where that line is? Because it isn't apparent to me, I tend to think it probably should be closer to the right of the people to know. And I don't have the answer. If you do, I'd love to hear it. I mean, I think I think it'll be a fascinating read, and it'll kind of like, I don't know, it'll be a little bit like reading about an earthquake after the shaking has stopped. But the question is, has the shaking stopped? In the program yesterday, we were talking about these assholes who are planning to do it again this Saturday at the Justice for J6 rally. You know, supposedly a rally in support of the people who attacked constitutional governance in this country and are jailed, awaiting trial because they could not be trusted to be at their own liberty. And at least this time through, the Capitol Police are trying to make it clear that they know what is at stake and what's going on. Capitol Police issuing a statement dated yesterday. The United States Capitol Police is aware of concerning online chatter about a demonstration planned for September 18th. Quote, we are here to protect everyone's First Amendment right to peacefully protest. That according to Capitol Police Chief Tom Manger. I urge anyone who is thinking about causing trouble to stay home. We will enforce the law and not tolerate violence. The Capitol Police Board approved a plan to temporarily put up a fence around the Capitol building. When the inner perimeter fence was taken down in July, Capitol Police leaders noted that from time to time they may exercise the ability to enhance security around the Capitol complex. And they made an emergency declaration that goes into effect almost contemporaneously with the latest maggot rally. And it allows the department to deputize outside law enforcement officers as U.S. Capitol Police special officers. Chief Manger went on, we want to reassure everyone these are temporary measures to ensure everyone's safety. We're extremely grateful for the support we continue to receive from the local community and our congressional stakeholders as we carry out our critical mission. And there was also mention in yesterday's program of General Honoré being involved, and that's reassuring as well. Stay home, they said. And since it is Titanic Tuesday, here's a nomination for my former employer from many, many years past, CNN. And it's a Titanic Tuesday nomination because if a person didn't know better, one could be forgiven for almost thinking that, well, the nation has forgotten the illegal war that dim leaders started. How's this for some nice brown nosy writing? The man who was president during the attacks of September 11th, 2001, used a speech commemorating the 20th anniversary of that terrible day to call out the malign force coursing through the country thanks to the presidency and post-presidency of Donald Trump and offered an alternative vision for his party and for the country. It will surprise no one to find out that this thing was written by Chris Saliza, who is one of the few entities, even a stopped clock is right twice a day. But not Chris Saliza. He's referring to the speech that Bush gave in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And that's a good question, Randy Radar asking. How does Dick Cheney keep getting off the hook? Well, because George W. Bush, for good or ill, was the actual president. We all know that Dick Cheney, before he dicks you, was doing the actual work. But the guy that had the job was Bush. And so it is, in fact, Bush's illegal war. It's not like they held a gun to his head to make him attack the people of Iraq. And so, dim leader blathered on about an amazing... In the weeks and months following the 9/11 attacks, I was proud to lead an amazing, resilient, new united people. When it comes to the unity of America, those days seem distant from our own. Malign force seems at work in our common life that turns every disagreement into an argument and every argument into a clash of cultures. So much of our politics has become a naked appeal to anger, fear, and resentment. That leaves us worried about our nation and our future together. I'll be damned. I hate it when these hallucinations happen to me, when something in my brain goes sideways And I think I remember something happening that obviously, if at least if you asked Chris Saliza, didn't happen. You know, a naked appeal to anger, fear, and resentment. Does one recall, perchance, say the South Carolina Republican primary of 2000, when George W. Bush spread a nasty little piece of invective about John McCain? Hey, do you know he has a black baby? Yeah, he does. Hey. I wonder why that would work in a place like South Carolina, Stan. But he did. He did. But this is, I don't know. I haven't seen anything quite like this since, who was it, Chris Matthews, Tweety? Since Tweety declared that George W. Bush sent a, and I think these were his exact words, tingle down my leg. Tingle, not tinkle, tingle. Now, did I hallucinate that? Did I hallucinate the John McCain's got a black baby sleaze and filth? Or did that really happen? And yet George W. Bush had the nerve to... I mean, look, he's not wrong about Nitwit Nero. He didn't use Nitwit Nero's name. But everybody knew what he was talking about. But the fact that somehow we forget the 1 million or more dead Iraqi civilians, every drop of whose blood is on the hands of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld, presently now enjoying pineapples in hell, Paul Wolfowitz, yeah, Scooter, right? Mm-hmm. But this is pure hagiography. And I guess Chris Saliza has to write something about something every now and then. And he refers to the little press release that Nitwit Nero released yesterday instead of in lieu of a tweet, because he can't tweet because he's permanently banned.
He shouldn't be lecturing us about anything. The World Trade Center came down during his watch.
Of course, Nitwit Nero then neglected to mention that his first utterance following the collapse of the Twin Towers was to say,
"Hey, now I've got the biggest, tallest building in New York. Yay me."
I don't know. I hate selective memory. And I'm as guilty of it as anybody, but I hate it. And then, oh my God, he really did this, writing of quotes from Bush's speech in Shanksville. By the way, am I the only one who heard echoes in that speech of James Earl Jones? No, really, try not to puke. If you know, this is one moment when you don't want the hockey puck because, you know, you don't want to choke or anything. By the way, am I the only one who heard echoes in that speech of James Earl Jones' famous "People Will Come" speech in Field of Dreams? Especially this line from Jones. "This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that was once good and could be again." This is why I so thoroughly detest and despise the multimillionaires of the for-profit media. I mean, Saliza says it was an appeal to our better angels. Well, bullshit, because our better angels took it in the shorts in the wars that George W. Bush started as a matter not of necessity, but of choice. Pure, unmitigated choice. God. You get the idea what kind of a Titanic Tuesday this is going to be? Yeah. Add another name to the list of the COVID dead. Now, I presume out there somebody is mourning. But this guy, who was the pastor of the Denver Bible Church, that kind of makes you wonder what other kinds of churches there are in Denver. The Denver Waffle Iron Church, the Denver Clawfoot Bathtub Church. Bob Enyart is dead. Bob Enyart is dead after getting the Rona earlier this month. Also, he was a right-wing radio host. And, of course, led an absolutely toxic, deadly, to himself, campaign against masks and the vaccine. Yeah. His co-host, something called the Real Science Radio Show, pretty much guarantee you there's no real science in that, Fred Williams said, "It comes with an extremely heavy heart that my close friend and co-host of Real Science Radio has lost his battle with COVID. Bob Enyart was one of the smartest and without question the wisest person I've known." Well, it sounds like Fred doesn't know very many wise people. "All the while being exceedingly kind and humble." Because that's what he was being. He was being kind and humble when he was trying to kill people by telling them not to wear masks or get the vaccine. Yeah, he was a kind and humble psychopath. "And always, always willing to listen and discuss anything you wanted. It was an honor beyond measure to have been alongside him for 15 years and over 750 science shows." Yeah, science. "I always marveled at how Bob put up with me all those years." Well, dollar goes a long way. On his website during the pandemic, he said that he and his wife would not get the vaccine because the vaccines were tested, quote, "on the cells of aborted babies," which is, of course, and I want to use the right complicated legal term for this, a fucking lie. And before the pandemic, he was a fetus fetishist. What did Fred Williams say? Wisest person he's ever known, smartest person, exceedingly kind and humble. Exceedingly kind and humble. Well, back before the pandemic, among other things, he had a TV show a while back, and on his old TV show, when somebody died of AIDS, HIV, he would read out their name while "Another One Bites the Dust" by Queen played underneath it. Kind and humble. Yeah. Willing to listen and discuss anything. And willing to celebrate death. Death. Mm-hmm. And so add him to the list, this Bob Enyart, of other right-wing, anti-vax, anti-mask radio hosts who have gone to their long homes. And deservedly so. Yeah. And I need to get some thank yous out. Thank you most kindly to Pat. Thank you, Pat. And thank you to our dear friend Jessica in Minnesota, in the greater Rochester co-prosperity sphere. Mm-hmm. Thank you to an anonymous friend. Great news. We're done with Thursday, and we started on Friday. So that means there's 240 bucks to go on Friday, and then 600 and more, 100 more to catch up. So we're at 840 now. Thank you. That's wonderful, and hopefully we can keep the ball rolling on that. Yeah, I can't forget the Canon Law Church. Yeah, thanks, Steve. Yeah, that's one. Oh, please, says Ralphs, play Another One Bites the Dust just for Bob Inyart. I'm really trying to be a better person, Ralph. Should I really do that? I mean, wouldn't that be a little too much? I mean, would it be cold and cruel and heartless to do something like that to poor, poor, dead Bob Inyart? There's another suggestion. I think you may be right about that, Brother Deacon. Because that fits quite well, too. Right. What was that? Bob Inyart? Dead?
The media said Joe Biden's president. Ha, 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 ha.
You know, if any other octogenarian did that, there'd probably be a trip to the gerontologist or neurologist somewhere in their family. Yeah. On the other hand, though, Ralph's suggestion for marking the passing of Bob Inyart, yeah, why not?
Down the street, people way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go.
Chair dance.
Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the side of the beat. Yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're certainly not going to do that with every right-wing anti-mask, anti-vax, spread-neck mask, whole COVIDiot maggot. We're not, but Bob Inyart, he kind of earned it. Yes. So, bye, Bob. Yeah. Randy Radar says, I've noticed that effective social policies involve both the carrot and the stick, but the Republican policies have only the stick. And it's coated in COVID. Without a doubt. See ya, Bob. And yet, and back to the topic or the subject matter of Woodward and Costa's new book, Peril. Steve says, put all this shit aside and put it in stark, cold, hair-raising, putsch-insinuating perspective. Our military was on bona fide, real, no-joke alert having to deal with an actual coup in our United States of America. And Steve continues saying, no, you're not going to, you'll get no admonition from me, Robin, as I've said a million times. I've been doing a lot of reading about NSDAP, Germany's seizing of power. What you said and what I've said feel awfully similar. there was a coup afoot on January 6, 2021. We really did just escape autocracy. I hate these people. P.S. If only we'd had a monarch to keep us from the brink. Well, isn't that what Donald Trump wanted to be? Isn't it? Yeah. And this cat got mentioned on the program yesterday, a little bit of a follow-up for him. Namely, a California man, 44-year-old Donald Craighead of Oceanside, had made a series of racist, bigoted, and bizarre comments to law enforcement officers before and after he was arrested. And today, a judge ordered that he be held without bond. He was arrested near the Democratic National Committee headquarters in Washington, D.C. They found weapons in a pickup truck that displayed white supremacist symbols. He had swastikas drawn on his mirror. He had a swastika drawn inside his pick-em-up truck with the eagle reverse of a quarter in the center, you know, kind of like the Reichsadler in the center of the Hakenkreuz. Yeah. He had antlers on the front of his pickup truck, and two special agents interviewed him this morning and said he exhibited signs of possible mental illness. Oh, God. Is that it now? Is being a Nazi mental illness? Specifically, the agents noted, the defendant advised that prior to being stopped by the police, he was patrolling for individuals that were trying to change his magnetic frequency and the gay families behind the September 11th attack that have stalked him for years. And his lawyer said, oh, let him loose, Judge. Most of his history, with the exception of one incident, is nonviolent. Wonder what that one incident was. How about the swastikas? Is just having swastikas all over your truck, are swastikas nonviolent, or are they, is it similar to the concept of fighting words? It was about midnight Monday when officers noticed his truck. And he had taken off his license plate and replaced it with a printout of the American flag. So maybe sovereign citizen stuff, yeah? Had a 15-inch bayonet-style knife, as it was described, on the passenger seat of his Dodge Dakota pick-em-up truck. And later they decided it was a big hunting knife with about a 7.5-inch. Actually, it was an assegai. Mm-hmm. Then there's a 21.5-inch long machete, right? And, of course, when the cops pulled him over, he said, why are you pulling me over when there are brown people hurting white people? And then he used a bunch of homophobic slurs while he was talking with the officers. And he was wearing, I guess, an Aloha shirt. The news report that I'm looking at says it was a T-shirt associated with the far-right Boogaloo movement. You know, the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters executive staff. And had his collection of duck bones and his own hair clippings. And had a cardboard box with the word bazooka written on it. And it had little glass containers of orange paint. He hid a journal on the engine block. And it was full of names and phone numbers and addresses and cryptic statements like MK Ultra Machine. They also had an Odin's cross, Norse runes. And he said, well, I'm not necessarily a Nazi. But in the affidavit, the agents wrote, he agreed with having the option of genocide for a certain group of people if they were to become brainwashed. This is who's showing up for justice for J6. I guess we'll have to, the maggots will have to have a rally now for justice for S13. I'm a month ahead of myself there. Yeah. Right. Stop it, Robin, says Lee in New York. Being a Nazi is not a sign of mental health. Hey, he had moose antlers and duck bones. Are we sure this guy wasn't Phil Robertson? Well, they're deer antlers, not moose antlers. It's only a Dodge Dakota, Brother Deacon. Duck doofus. Yeah, I know. So he'll be in the stir for at least a little while longer. And it got a little bizarre in Congress today, in the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Secretary of State Antony Blinken took questions today from the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and well, when it was Representative Scott Perry, when it was his turn to ask questions, what with him being a Pennsylvania maggot, and poor old Antony Blinken, had a bit of a struggle because Perry said, a little off topic here, but I think it's interesting. How long was your recent interview with the FBI, and was it a deposition? And Blinken said, I don't know what you're talking about. Are you saying you have not had a recent interview with the FBI since becoming Secretary of State? Blinken said, I'm not sure what you're referring to, and I'm happy to take that up with you offline. And the whole reason for him being there was to testify about us finally getting the hell out of Afghanistan, 20 years after we never should have gone in. Then this genius, Scott Perry, said, did the State Department turn over documents to the FBI related to Hunter Biden, Burisma, and or the Blue State Strategies Corporation?
What, Edith, huh?
And, were you interviewed by the FBI since you became Secretary of State? And that's when Committee Chairman Representative Gregory Meeks said, I will remind the gentleman that the topic of this hearing is Afghanistan. At which point the maggot replied, Secretary generally refuses to answer questions about Afghanistan, so I just figured we should talk about something he should be intimately familiar with. Have you sought to alter any of your testimony from last year's Senate investigation regarding this topic, Mr. Secretary? At which point, having run completely out of fucks to give, Chairman Meeks banged the gavel down and said, gentlemen's time's expired. Mm-hmm. And remember Joe Wilson of South Carolina, Stan, who yelled, you lie, at Barack Obama during the State of the Union a few years back? Well, he's still in Congress, and his name still isn't really Joe. And he called on Secretary Blinken to resign. So did Lee Zeldin of New York and Tim Burchett of Tennistan. Oh, my God. Yeah. The stupid is strong with these ones. and there, I don't know how much room there is left on the bridge of the Titanic at this point. Oh, and thank you. Thank you very kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island. Charlene has us down to 8:20 to go. And that means we've got $220 to finish with Friday's funding, so we'll be fully funded for last week and maybe do some desperate bill paying quickly. So it was. It was a busy day for Anthony Blinken. He showed up in the House, or virtually in the House, to testify about Afghanistan, and then he went over to testify before the Senate, where Senator James Risch of Idaho had his own weird-ass line of questioning. You might want the hockey puck for this one.
Well, I'm more interested in the top decision-making. Look, we've all seen this. We saw it as recently as yesterday. Somebody in the White House has authority to press the button and stop the president, cut off the president's speaking ability and sound. Who is that person?
I think anyone who knows the president, including members of this committee, knows that he speaks very clearly and very deliberately for himself. No one else does.
Now, there was a little game when I was a kid called Button, Button, Who's Got the Button? Is that what Senator Risch is blathering about? Who's got the shut down Joe Biden button? What?
Well, are you saying that there is no one in the White House that can cut him off? Because yesterday that happened, and it's happened a number of times before that. It's been widely reported that somebody has the ability to push the button and cut off his sound and stop him from speaking.
What? Widely report? Where, Senator Risch? Where has it been widely reported? Widely reported on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, widely reported on Newsmuck, widely reported on Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, or maybe widely reported on that website that rhymes with light and fart? Where is it widely reported? Is Risch suggesting that Joe Biden is a bot? Or a mandroid? I know.
Who is that person?
There is no such person. Again, the president speaks for himself, makes all of the strategic decisions, informed by the best advice that he can get from the people around him.
So are you unaware that this is actually happening? Because it happened yesterday at the Interagency Fire Center. It was widely reported. The media's reported on it. And it's not the first time it's happened. It's happened several times. Are you telling this committee that this does not happen, that there's no one in the White House who pushes the button and cuts him off in mid-sentence?
That's correct.
Yeah, dumbass. I'm the Secretary of State. I'm not the Director of Personnel. I'm not the White House Chief of Staff. And what'd you smoke before the hearing, Senator Risch? I didn't know that Idaho had legal weed. Now, of course, D.C. does off of Capitol Hill. But what the? Huh? Who cuts off the mic? Lee in New York says, I think it's the same person who causes your transmission to blip. Oh, great. Blipping? Are we blipping? I don't want to be blipping. Okay, yeah, thank you. I just got a cowbell from Brother Deacon Asa for, it was only a Dodge Dakota. Cowbell for that. Oh, the Ford Ranger or Chevy Colorado's the Dodge Dakota. No longer made, by the way. Yeah.
So this didn't happen yesterday, nor on the other occasions where the media showed the American people that his sentence was cut off in mid-sentence.
Yeah.
Are you saying that didn't happen?
Senator, I really don't know what you're referring to.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know if you know what you're talking about.
I can tell you is having worked with the president for now 20 years, both here on this committee and over the last 9 months at the White House, the president very much speaks for himself.
What?
And where did this all come from? Well, we kind of know. Daniel Dale over at CNN, the fact checker, said there was a planned pool spray in which press is allowed in for brief remarks at a meeting started, ended as Biden began questioning officials. Prompted by a Republican National Committee tweet, right-wing media covered this like the White House was nervously censoring Biden as he went off script. These are the words Biden said before the feed ended. Can I ask you a question? One of the things I've been working on with some others is... It wasn't like he started telling some crazy story. Which we got a lot of, say, between January 20th, 2017 and January 20th, 2021. It's almost like they weren't even paying attention when Nitwit Nero was president and told in excess of, I think, 24,000 lies in 4 years. Jesus. And that's where we are. Any crazy shit that comes burbling up through the right-wing maggot cesspit now has instant credibility to become part of a line of questioning from an actual sitting U.S. senator. The fuck? I know. And by the way, there's a bit of a feud brewing, and the senior senator from West Virginia is on the wrong end of it. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez recently called out my senator, and rightly so, for being in the pocket of, among others, ExxonMobil. You might recall we covered the story a little while back of the lobbyist who was caught on a hot mic saying, "Oh, I meet with Joe Manchin every week. He does exactly what we tell him." And so Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez pointed that out, and apparently it hit Joe Manchin in a soft and tender place. Because, well, you know, Joe has never seen a fossil fuel filth-coated dollar that he didn't want to put in his pocket. And in defending himself, he said, "Well, gosh, I hardly know the young lady. I mean, I've met her a couple of times here doing segments for your show, but I don't hardly know her, and she's just making stuff up." No, because, see, that's the thing. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez brings receipts because she knows she has to. She doesn't get automatic multimillionaire for-profit media credibility like Joe does, even though he doesn't deserve it. She took to Twitter to respond to, well, this is, you know, this is the thing that kind of started things. It's Joe on one of the Babel shows, CNN State of the Union.
Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said this about you in a tweet. "Manchin has weekly huddles with Exxon and is one of many senators who gives lobbyists their pen to write so-called bipartisan fossil fuels bills. It's killing people. Sick of this bipartisan corruption that masquerades as clear-eyed moderation."
Now, what's interesting in that is that Dana Bash, that's whose voice you just heard, Dana Bash edited Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's tweet on the fly. She left out something that was really rather important and sort of the heart and soul of why Representative Ocasio-Cortez tweeted in the first place. She read the first paragraph correctly. Manchin has weekly huddles with Exxon and is one of many senators who gives lobbyists their pen to write so-called bipartisan fossil fuel bills. That's a factual statement. Then she said, it's killing people, our people, at least 12 last night. She tweeted this on September the 2nd in the wake of Ida striking in New York City, talking about climate change, the fossil fuel relationship to climate change. It's killing people, our people, at least 12 last night, sick of this bipartisan corruption that masquerades as clear-eyed moderation. Dana Bash erased 12 dead New Yorkers in that moment. Maybe she didn't want to remind Joe Manchin of the blood that's on his hands. I don't know why she did that, but she did it.
Fellow Democrat. Well, is it true that you have weekly meetings with Exxon
not.
And other
absolutely
lobbyists
you
for fossil
them if
fuel?
Ever. No, they don't.
No, I don't have weekly meetings with ExxonMobil. I have them daily, goddammit. I mean, it reminds me of when Big Jim Folsom, the governor of Alabama of eons ago, was accused of having a fling with a woman of color, Big Jim being white and all. And the reporter said, "Big Jim, is it true that you slept with a black woman?" And Big Jim replied, "It's a damn lie. Didn't neither one of us get a wink of sleep." Yeah, that passed for humor back then. Well, it's the same. No, I don't have weekly meetings with ExxonMobil. And, of course, Dana Bash is, nobody's ever going to accuse her of being a hard-hitting interviewer. So, oh, okay, well, that's good enough for me. Yeah. How about biweekly? What about the Exxon lobbyist who said that you're in his, that you're in their pocket?
This is your fellow Democrat.
Well,
is it true that you have weekly meetings with Exxon
not.
And other
absolutely
lobbyists
you
for fossil fuel?
Ever. No, they don't. Weekly meetings, I don't.
It's just false.
I keep my door open for everybody. It's totally false. And those type of superlatives, it's just awful. Continue to divide. I don't know.
You know what? He does not keep his office door open for everybody. If you are, for instance, trying to save lives in Appalachia, in his home state, and calling for an end to mountaintop removal. No, his door is not always open. Now, maybe you can get a meeting with some low-level staffer who will, draw squiggles on their legal pad while you're sitting there talking about real people being killed. But no, not so much.
The young lady that well, I really don't. I've met her.
Now, you got that part? Because this is what... this is what earned him a nice zap from AOC.
Awful. Continue to divide. I don't know the young lady that well. I really don't. I've met her one time, I think.
The young lady. How about the representative of, what is it, the 14th Congressional District of New York? The young lady.
Between sets here, but that's it. So we have not had any conversations. She's just speculating and saying things because she wants attention.
She's not the only one.
Yeah. Because she wants attention. She's just speculating because she wants attention. Well, how about, Joe, how about she's actually using things that have been reported as factual in the press because she has constituents who are being killed by the climate change that you continue to support, Joe? How about that? Just asking.
I'm sure you've heard. There are a number of your fellow Democrats who say that you're opposed to this because you're bought and paid for by corporate donors.
I'm opposed to it because it makes no sense at all. I just gave you the facts. I've said this. You're entitled to your own facts. I mean, your own opinions. You're just not entitled to create your own facts to support it. And
No. Because it's crazy. It's crazy to try to stop a process that is making this planet more and more uninhabitable for, human beings? Right? Maybe? Kinda? A little bit? Yeah. So, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez shot back, and she said, in Washington, I usually know my questions of power are getting somewhere when the powerful stop referring to me as Congresswoman and start referring to me as young lady instead. Imagine if every time someone referred to someone as young lady, they were asked to respond by being addressed with their age and gender. They'd be pretty upset if one responded with the old man, right? Why this kind of weird patronizing behavior is so accepted is beyond me. Well, because it is precisely that. It is patronizing, and patronizing comes from the same Latin root as patriarchy. It's just more male fragility from the right wing. And make no mistake, that's another thing the lazy-ass for-profit multimillionaires make. Namely, referring to Joe Manchin as centrist bullshit. Joe Manchin is more right-wing than some members of the Republican Party. Plain and simple. Well, I've hardly never met the old man. How about old geezer? There's one. She's just trying to get attention. Right. When the most dangerous place in Washington is anywhere between a camera and Joe Manchin. Yeah. By the way, GK in Minnesota says, craziness is here too. Outside a school board meeting, my friend took it. It's a van marked with www.braatens.com, BRAATENS.com, classic and muscle cars. Stop BLM. No CRT. BLM, with an arrow pointing to a backward swastika. Which reminds something that Ron and Raleigh wrote a few minutes ago. Remember, the swastika has been a symbol of good luck in India and other South Asian countries for centuries. Damn Nazis, the reason we can't have nice things. Yeah, it was a perfectly acceptable symbol once upon a time. But that all got forgotten when the homicidal white people got hold of it and co-opted it. Yeah. So, again, thank you very kindly to those of you who have jumped in. We're trying to get down, at least get Friday fully funded. And we've got a little more than $200 to go on that. It is Tuesday. That means that Brad and Desi are back with the Green News Report. And this is also Conversation Radio. If you've got something you need to get said, feel free to jump right in. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. And the stress line, of course, is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. Feel free to jump right in if the spirit moves you.
It's Tuesday, September 14, 2021.
Forecasters say the storm could dump up to 20 inches of rain over some parts of the Gulf Coast this week.
Second monster storm in 2 weeks drowns the U.S. Gulf Coast.
When we build back, we have to build back better. It's not a Democrat thing. It's not a Republican thing. It's a weather thing.
Biden urges Congress to invest in hardening the nation's infrastructure. Plus, another nail in the coffin for the massive zombie pebble mine in Alaska.
All of those coffins and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
You know, we can't continue to try to ignore reality.
Oh, Mr. President, as Barack Obama used to say, yes, we can. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Tizzy Doyne, yet another monster storm and yet another record hurricane season is yet again knocking out power across Texas and Louisiana.
Yes, as we go to air, Tropical Storm Nicholas is bringing days of heavy rain and dangerous flash floods to areas of Texas and storm-battered Louisiana. States of emergency are in effect. Widespread power outages are reported in Texas, again, after the ice storm earlier this year. Flights canceled and schools are closed. The National Hurricane Center warns that Nicholas is a slow-moving rainmaker that could dump as much as 20 inches of rain on some parts of the Gulf Coast.
20 inches of rain.
Yes, and that compounds storm surge with inland flooding. Inland flooding is the leading cause of storm-related deaths. Beleaguered Louisiana is still struggling to recover from a direct hit by Category 4 Hurricane Ida just 2 weeks ago. Studies show that human-caused climate change is making storms more severe, producing more rainfall, moving slower once they make landfall, and generating larger storm surges along the coast.
None of which is good news.
It's a busy week on Capitol Hill as Democrats hash out key pillars of President Biden's climate agenda in his Build Back Better proposal to create jobs, upgrading the nation's infrastructure, and shifting to clean energy.
That would be good.
It's part of the Democrats' $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation legislation that can pass with a simple majority over an expected Republican filibuster. The bill also includes funding for lead pipe removal, fees for methane leaks, transmission upgrades, and EV charging infrastructure. And under negotiation right now is a potentially game-changing policy called the Clean Electricity Performance Program, or CEPP, to incentivize utilities to accelerate the shift to clean energy. A new report from independent firm Analysis Group finds that if Congress passes the Clean Electricity Performance Program, it would create nearly 8 million new jobs and add nearly $1 trillion to the economy by 2031.
That's good thing if we could just get that message across to Joe Manchin, who really doesn't seem to like any of this stuff.
President Biden visited the wildfire-ravaged states of California and Idaho on Monday to bolster firefighting efforts and promote his Build Back Better proposal. At the National Interagency Fire Center in Boise, Idaho, and then again in California, Biden emphasized that man-made climate change is here and the nation needs to prepare now for worse effects to come, noting that last year alone, extreme weather cost the U.S. $99 billion.
The reality is we have a global warming problem. It's not like you can build back to what it was before. It's not going to get any better than it is today. It only can get worse. For every dollar we invest in resilience that is building back better, we save $6 down the road in the future. When we build back, we have to build back better. It's not a Democrat thing. It's not a Republican thing. It's a weather thing.
Actually, it's a climate thing, Mr. President, but we'll let you go on that one.
Some good news. The Biden Environmental Protection Agency says it will establish the first ever rules limiting the industrial dumping of toxic chemicals known as PFAS into public water systems or directly into rivers, lakes, and surface waters.
Tyrant.
PFAS are linked to a host of health impacts like cancers and birth defects. EPA will also establish new rules limiting wastewater discharges from slaughterhouses into rivers, like the Smithfield Hog Processing plant in North Carolina, which alone dumps more than 1 million pounds of pollutants a year directly into the Cape Fear River.
Well, so much for freedom.
Finally, the Biden EPA has also put another nail in the coffin of the extremely controversial Pebble Mine, a truly massive open-pit gold and copper mine proposed in Alaska, which the EPA's studies have shown would irreversibly harm the world's largest sockeye salmon fishery in Alaska's pristine Bristol Bay watershed. The Biden EPA has asked a federal court to allow it to reopen its proposed veto of the mine under the Clean Water Act.
Well, let's hope this one sticks for a while. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
For all of the beauty my children will see, here's to Alaska and me. Here's to Alaska, here's to the people.
Yes, indeed. And, well, nice to see that Brad and Desi got worked some Joe Manchin into their report as well. Lee in New York said, Manchin, should we call the coal-loving gold digger a coal digger? Quality, Lee. That's quality. And by the way, Matt in San Francisco, subject line, Manchin, open to everybody. By that, he means not just Exxon, but, you know, Shell, BP, Chevron, you know, all the other energy companies, too. And, you know, Contura that blows up West Virginia, mountain by mountain by mountain. Yeah, my door's always open. Exactly, Matt, exactly. And going back for just a minute to the new book, Peril, by Woodward and Costas. Oh, and by the way, hey, it's 85 degrees here in the studio. I wondered why I was pouring sweat. It's not a pretty sight. Oh, and there's Lucy. Lucy just came into the studio. Lucy's leaving the studio because Lucy likes to reprogram mix desks and whatnot. And there's Agnes, who is...
Hello, Agnes.
Hello, Agnes. No, she came back because I'm kind of dehydrating back here. Nasty. Yeah, it's hot, hot, hot. I'm not complaining, though, because soon there will be nothing to complain about, and we'll be trying to figure out a way to keep this place warm instead of cool. Believe me, John in Central PA says, I'm sick of this Manchin prick. No offense to pricks. He's an asshole of the highest order. He's malevolent, a disgrace. Well, don't hide your light under a bushel, John. Tell us how you really feel. I mean, there's plenty more where that came from, and it's all justified, and it's all deserved. But no, going back to Peril by Woodward and Costas, one of the weirder aspects of that is that, of all people, really, Dan Quayle, the man who caused an entire nation to pray for the well-being of George H.W. Bush, comes off as kind of a hero, just telling Mike Pence that there's nothing you can do. I've been vice president. You've been vice president. There's nothing you can do. You can't stop the vote count. You can't stop Biden from taking office because he won the election. You can't do it, Mike. Because Mike was still trying to figure out a way to do his master's bidding. It's, oh my God. And along the way, in the excerpts that have been published from the book, a tense encounter in the Oval Office on January 5th when Trump pressured Pence to overturn the results of the election. Because, like I said earlier, a stupid piece of right-wing internet gossip suddenly becomes an actual policy proposal simply because it was repeated on that website that rhymes with light and fart, or, you know, Alex Jones mentions it in between hustles of his chocolate chicken bone beverage. Oh, for fuck's sake. No, really. While the showdown went on inside, the two men could hear MAGA supporters cheering and chanting outside near Pennsylvania Avenue, at which Trump looks at Mike Pencilneck Geek and says,
if these people say you had the power, wouldn't you want to?
I wouldn't want any one person to have that authority, Mike Pencilneck Geek responded.
But wouldn't it be almost cool to have that power?
Oh, my God! And I thought I had an inner 12-year-old girl. Trump is a 12-year-old girl, but wouldn't it be, like, cool to have that power? And Mike Pencilneck Geek says, no, I've done everything I could and then some to find a way around this. It's simply not possible. And then he starts shouting.
No, no, no.
God, he was President Cartman, wasn't he? I just heard that one in my stupid Trump impression.
No, no, no. You don't understand, Mike. You can do this. I don't want to be your friend.
This line.
Robin, ladies do not mimic imbeciles, okay? There you go.
Who said I'm a lady? But wait, no, it's the next line that kills.
Your adopted mom says.
No, no, no. You don't understand, Mike. You can do this.
Again, seventh grade.
I don't want to be your friend anymore if you don't do this.
Oh, that's Facebook. I mean, God.
He's got, oh my God, Nitwit Nero's, no, it's seventh grade.
I'm not going to be your friend anymore. I want all my Justin Bieber MP3s back, God damn it.
All that time we spent on the 25th Amendment over those 4 years. Hi, Agnes, says Lee in New York.
I don't want to be your friend anymore if you don't do
it. It was January. When you hear something, why did Mike Pence not just, okay, fuck it, that's it. We're going 25th Amendment. I've been good. I've been loyal. I've eaten the shit sandwich every time he's offered me a big bite. But I don't want to be your friend anymore. We're not friends. Holy shit. What was that phrase General Milley used? Disturbing mental decline.
I'm not going to be your friend anymore. You know what? If you don't do it, I picked the wrong man 4 years ago. You're going to wimp out. What are you, a girl?
I've mentioned it before, a science fiction series that I really love. And it's set far enough in the future, for instance, that with everybody's memories being backed up in their cortical stack, there are transmissions of memory and personality data that hackers in the future, it's called dipping. And they'll just dip a little bit of somebody's memory and kind of sell it like, oh, I don't know, like the National Enquirer sort of, and so people can actually experience that in their own minds. I can't tell you how glad I am that that technology does not yet exist. Because to even get a snippet of Trump's mind would probably destroy one's own. What a schmuck. What a jackass.
I don't want to be your friend anymore. No more sleepovers for you, Mikey.
Lee in New York says, South Park president weighs the same as Cartman and speaks as clearly as Kenny. Yeah, I know. The pain. Oh, and something else we've talked about on the program from time to time. The military has a bigger problem than it's even willing to think about, or at least publicly. But then again, if what's reported in Peril is true, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the background. So maybe they do know. But the right-wing problems in the military are broader and deeper than we suspect. And so it is that Lieutenant Colonel Paul Douglas Haig. Haig? Really? Any kin to Al? Don't know. Lieutenant Colonel Paul Douglas Haig is resigning his commission after 19 years in the Army. You know why he's quitting? He's quitting because he's butthurt that his commander-in-chief has insisted that in order to be ready to meet any potential threat, you know, kind of what the military is there for, that the military needs to be vaccinated so that the military cannot be laid low by a disease as militaries have been in the past. In fact, Joe Biden is doing exactly what George Washington did. In you know, something like 245 years ago, thereabouts, 1777, Valley Forge. You remember the story? Smallpox was raging like wildfire through the area where the army was, and there was a new and experimental vaccine for smallpox, and George Washington said, yep, and everybody's going to take it. That or you can be shot. It's your choice. You can take the shot or be shot. Biden, of course, did the same. Our military is going to be vaccinated. It is, from a military standpoint, wise. But not according to Lieutenant Colonel Paul Douglas Haig, who fired off a resignation letter and probably was not fit for command in the first place. First and foremost, I'm incapable of subjecting myself to the unlawful, unethical, immoral, and tyrannical order to sit still and allow a serum to be injected into my flesh against my will and better judgment. Hoo-ah! It is impossible for this so-called vaccine to have been studied adequately to determine the long-term effects. Hoo-ah! No, really. He wrote that. So, you know, over the course of 19 years, I'm sure he's followed some orders that have led to the deaths of other people. I mean, it kind of goes with the territory. But when it comes to getting to service members getting a vaccine that will keep them from being laid low by a global pandemic and making the United States vulnerable to hostilities from other nations, what is it to... I will not sit still and allow serum to be injected into my flesh against my will and better judgment. What? Fucking idiot. Goddamn numbnuts. Dipshit. Spreadneck. COVIDiot. Mask hole. I probably shouldn't have read it that way. Probably more like, that is impossible for this so-called vaccine to have been studied adequately to determine long-term effects. Probably more like that. This is an ideologically Marxist takeover of the new United States government at their upper echelons. I will continue resisting the eternal and ever mutable forms of oppression and tyranny, both from enemies outside our nation's borders and those within. But he sure didn't do jack shit when we were under attack from within by a president who fomented a coup against constitutional governance in the United States of America. Well, no. Couldn't do that. Bridge too far. Oh. Jackass. Lieutenant Colonel Jackass. Holy crap. I'd love to know more about this dude. What, you know, just what kind of lieutenant colonel he was. His wife tweeted his resignation. No shit. I got a lot of courage, but I'm gonna let the little woman tweet my resignation letter. Yeah. He said he's going to forego his pension over a vaccine. And he's already had more vaccines than he could shake a stick at. Yeah, Katie Phipps Haig. At the Haig on Twitter. Tweeted it.
After 18 years of active duty service in the U.S. Army, my lieutenant colonel husband has resigned. He's walking away from all he's worked for and believed in since he was an ROTC kid at UGA. He's walking away from his retirement. His resignation memo. I'd like nothing more than to continue in the Army to reach my 20 years of active federal service and retire with my pension. However, I instead will join those who have served before me in pledging my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor to continue resisting the eternal and immutable forms of oppression and tyranny, both from enemies outside the nation's borders and those within.
He submitted his resignation August the 30th. And then his wife started, again, fighting his fight for him.
He didn't resign over a vaccine. He said he felt the vaccine was being used as a political tool to divide and segregate Americans. He then went on to list many other reasons for his resignation, none of which have anything to do with vaccines.
Yeah. Right. Well, enjoy your retirement. And what do you want to bet this guy tries to figure out a way to get his retirement? Why didn't he just disobey the order straight up and face a court martial? Well, that's why. I'll quit, and then I'll take pot shots after I quit. Ooh, he brave. I wonder. Marxist ideology. Ron in Raleigh says, I wonder, do you think any of these numbskulls know that Abe Lincoln had a correspondence with Karl Marx? Shh. Don't tell them. It's not worth listening to the squealing. And then the next thing you know, we're back to Scott in San Diego and that monkey trying to work a math problem. I can almost see Lieutenant Colonel Hayes, and then he scratches his head with his little pencil, and he takes the pencil point, and he puts it on his tongue and licks it a little bit and goes back to writing.
Yeah.
Serum injected into my flesh against my will and better judgment.
So his judgment is better than every physician in the United States. His judgment is better than the Centers for Disease Control. His judgment is better than the World Health Organization. His judgment is better. I didn't see a doctor there in front of Lieutenant Colonel.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Wow. Randy Radar says, the people who don't want to be vaccinated generally have a control freak type of personality. I think you can take control away and just say, and type and just say, they're freaks. They're just freaks. Back to Ron and Raleigh for a second. Friends? He doesn't...
I don't want to be friends with you anymore.
That orange motherfucker has no friends. His whole life has been transactional. It's all about what he can get from someone. Iwanka is the closest thing Trump has to a friend, and that's only because of his impure thoughts about her. She tolerates him because she thinks she'll inherit something in the not-too-distant future. Boron could give a fuck about his alleged old man.
True.
All of it. But thanks for planting that visual in my head. That really stings, Ron.
Thanks for the sour persimmons, brother.
Speaking of heroes, little Madison Cawthorn, who has at best a tenuous relationship with the truth. Remember, he was going to go to the military academy. He said, "Of course, that turned out to be a lie. He was in a car wreck, and it paralyzed him from the waist down. And so he decided to attend a school board meeting. No, really, this little maggot last night." Went to the school board meeting of Henderson County, North Carolina. It was a meeting about mask mandates, mask requirements. And he and about 19 other people spoke to the school board. But curiously, not about
masks.
Instead, he used his time, his minute, to talk about the governor of the state of North Carolina.
Our community. Tyrants thrive when freedom is sacrificed on the altar of safety. Unbridled executives yearn for a fearful populace because power is found in fear. I believe that King George III would be immensely proud of Governor Roy Cooper. He's running the state with an iron fist, liberty be damned. He has ripped away your power and your will. No executive should undermine the foundations of our local government, you all. This school board did the right thing by voting to stop Roy Cooper's mask mandates, but our tyrant governor decided he was going to shot over the will of our local government, all of you sitting here. We are here to tell him no more. You are not the king. We are not your subjects. We, the people, will not bow to you. We will not accept your edicts. North Carolinians have had enough. I give you my word, I will work tirelessly to help.
Curiously, the North Carolinians have had enough, just not enough COVID, apparently, because he showed up, Madison Cawthorn, without his mask. You know, he's kind of fucked if he gets it, or might very well be. Probably, possibly, more susceptible to things like pneumonia. And so there's two people sitting behind him. Both of them have masks on. A third person, a fourth person, both have masks on. But not Madison. Oh, no. He's there to nail his feces to the door.
Help elect patriots across the state who will put the self-appointed king back in his place. Once we put the governor in his place, it will finally be up to you to do the right thing for our students. Stop using my constituents' children as political pawns. Educate them. Don't indoctrinate them. Stop forcing people to co-parent with the government. I urge you, do what the right thing, regardless of the backlash.
Yeah, what a dick. I mean, no, really.
You dick!
Precisely. And, of course, we have buffered up, and the program just quit for a minute there. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. A message from Les. Les says, in regard to Colonel Haig, the colonel don't care about no pension. He about to cash in on the Reich Wing, hop on the cross, and make me rich circuit. Oh, he will. He will. He'll probably have his own Reich Wing radio show in a matter of minutes, if he already doesn't. Somebody, I forget who the right-wing talker was, but was interviewed about the right-wingers who are dropping dead of COVID, the mask-hole COVIDiot spreadnecks. And I said, do you think, the question was put to this guy who actually has acknowledged the reality of this guy has acknowledged the reality of COVID. But when he was asked, well, do you think this will change others' minds? And he said, nah, the money is just too good. One of the most honest things I've ever seen a right-wing talker say. The money is just too good. Yeah. And I guess it is. But there's a terrible price for some of them to pay. But they're, well, you know, it won't be me. Be somebody else. Right. Don't forget, Ron and Raleigh says, going back to Madison Cawthorn. Madison, the lying little skid mark, said that after the car accident, his best friend left him to die in the burning vehicle. That was another lie. How the hell do these people get elected to a fucking thing? Also a Nazi lover. He went to Hitler's summer home, for God's sakes. I'm sure it was all about the architecture. I mean, remember, was it Time magazine that featured Hitler's summer retreat in like 1936, 1937, as an example of beautiful modern architecture and design? Yeah. Yeah, I do think so. Yeah, right. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I got a lot of Jesus Christ this evening. Maybe the heat's getting to me. Ooh, we've dropped to 84. winning. That's what all those big pauses are. It's me knocking down. I think I've knocked down about a half a liter of water so far. Yeah, billable Rick. Damn, your internet provider zapped Madison Cawthorn's speech. I don't know. Maybe. Randy Radar says Apple updates are probably clogging up the internet, but you're back. I took mine earlier today. So did Agnes. If you've got an iPhone, you probably want to take this update as quick as you can, if you haven't already heard about it. A major vulnerability in iOS 14, and there's a patch out to hopefully make it not so vulnerable anymore. Yeah. Busy evening with the Titanic intellects. Without a doubt. And, let's see. Yeah, we did Mr. Enyart. Ah! Here's another one. I mean, do we... Yeah, it's iOS 14.8. Thanks, Randy. Yeah. Now, what we're, let's see here. Here we go.
Ha, 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 ha.
That really is just cruel, and I should be ashamed of myself. Another anti-vaxxer has checked out. Hi, Shalian. Reported by the Jerusalem Post, said, there is no epidemic. The vaccine is unnecessary and dangerous. Well, he, to quote Jesse Lee Peterson, he did. Mm-hmm. Months and months he spent saying that there was nothing to the virus, right? And even as he laid in the hospital bed, he said, I don't have COVID. I don't have it. And even put a video up on social media not long before he went to his long home and said, no, really. The Jerusalem police tried to poison me. I've never felt this way in my life. All week I struggled as if nothing had happened, but today I could no longer breathe and went to the HMO, and from there I was evacuated to Wolfson Medical Center. If something happens to me, know that it's an assassination attempt. First time I've ever heard suicide described as an assassination attempt. Right up to his death, continued to be a COVID denier. I'll be damned.
Gonna get you too, but not a one bites the dust.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's kind of cold and shitty, but... Bye, hi. And then there's New Jersey. New Jersey that has done a pretty good job getting vaccinated. Unless you're a cop in New Jersey. Last week... last week alone, 22 New Jersey cops died of COVID-19. I'm sorry, 23. State Police Superintendent Pat Callahan said at the Monday virus briefing in New Jersey, 23 police officers at varying levels of government died last week. 22 of the deaths appear to be related to COVID-19. It was the most weekly death seen in years. And here's the punchline. They all had cop unions, of course. Some of the strongest unions in America are the cop unions. And those cop unions, what? They oppose their membership having to get vaccinated. No, really. Police unions in Wayne and Newark launched legal challenges to local vaccine mandates, and they lost. But the Public Employment Relations Commission has ordered certain provisions of the policies be negotiated, like discipline for noncompliance. The mandates vary. Wayne's order allows employees to forego vaccination, but requires they mask and submit negative COVID-19 tests on a weekly basis. On the other hand, the mandate in Newark does not include a testing option. And this isn't just New Jersey. It's cop unions all around the country. Nationwide, the head of the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, well, he recently said, and you know where this is going, right? Of course we do. The head of the Fraternal Order of Police, with its 355,000 members, John Catanzara, don't know, interviewed by the Chicago Sun-Times, said, "We're in America, goddammit. We don't want to be forced to do anything, period. This ain't Nazi fucking Germany, where they say step into the fucking showers, the pills won't hurt you. What the fuck?" Oh, my God. It takes a real special breed of asshole to compare having to take a life-saving vaccine to the systematic murder of 6 million human beings. Why didn't he say, "We're in America, fuck yeah"? Because that would have made him every bit of the cartoon that he is. You know, Team America, World Police. "We don't want to be forced to do anything, period." You know, unless you happen to be wearing a cop uniform, and then then he likes to force people to do all kinds of shit. Like, "Get on the ground, goddammit! I said get on the ground, bang!" Right. I really do question the integrity of an organization that advocates for its own membership's death. Catanzara went on and said, "Nobody knows what the long-term side effects could possibly be. Nobody. And anybody who says they do are full of shit." Mm-hmm. And he's all pissed off because Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot said, "Yep, every city employee has to get the vaccine." And the article notes from Salon says, she has yet to establish a clear policy addressing employees who might refuse to get it. Well, fuck it. Let them wonder. No, really, let them wonder. Okay, I'm not going to get the vaccine because freedom. You're fired. Oh, I guess I found out what the policy was. Yeah. The Police Benevolent Association in New York City has 24,000 members. And speaking to the New York Post, they said President Patrick Lynch sent an email saying, "If the city attempts to impose a vaccine mandate on PBA members, we will take legal action to defend our members' right to make such personal medical decisions." That's hilarious. An organization that is supposedly committed to enforcing the law has suddenly decided that they're not such big fans of enforcing the law anymore. They're looking at a vaccine mandate in San Jose, California, for all city employees. Their cop union boss said, he wants to stay with just the weekly COVID-19 testing. "We believe this proposal really strikes the right balance in helping maintain safety and reducing the spread. We want vaccinate or accommodate, not vaccine or vaccinate or terminate." Are there not some young people who want to be cops out there who have enough brains to actually get the vaccine. Every time I see stories like this, I'm reminded of the story from years ago where we found out that via a court case, I think in New York, that you can be well, the governments can refuse to hire someone to be a cop because their IQ is too high, because they are too intelligent. This kind of brings that into stark relief. Yeah. The Seattle Police Officers Guild. Well, he's got a podcast. Mike Solon, or Solon, the president of the Seattle Cop Union. He's got a podcast. It's called Hold the Line with Mike Solon. I can tell you right now, we could potentially have a lot of officers that could be terminated by this mandate. Okay. Get the goddamn shot, dumbass. I mean, and really, isn't it about time that we... I mean, no more kid gloves. No more pretty please. I got tested today because I'm trying to make sure that I stay COVID-free. And hope that I can stay COVID-free because so much is riding on that right now. I should probably just cave up and go nowhere, but somebody's got to do the going and the doing and the getting and the shopping and everything. And I guess I'm it. But, it, you know, I sat in my vehicle outside the hospital. A nurse in full protective gear came up, asked my name, took my birth date, took the swab, stuck it up into my brain, pulled it out, put it in the tube, broke the little swab off, put the cap on the tube, put the tube in the bag, and said, bye, stay safe. And I said, you too. You know, I wasn't, and you know, most of us are vaccinated in the Horn Family Community Congregation. You tell me. When you went to get your vaccine, were your knees knocking? Were you shitting kittens with crocheted tails? Were you all afraid of the antlers you were going to grow? Now, in no way, shape, form, or fashion will this here vaccine cause you to grow antlers. And it might get you a dream wedding. Back in Seattle, over a 20-day period in August, 29 officers in that police department tested positive for COVID-19. That was a 30% spike since the start of the pandemic. Yeah. Good Lord. And you know, the numbers are there. According to AP back in June, about 0.01% of all patients hospitalized by COVID throughout the U.S. were vaccinated. Among the vaccinated, 0.8%, 0.8 of 1/100 of COVID-related deaths were of Americans who had the vaccine. Yeah, but. Because it's always, yeah, but. And we're right back to the thing that we talked about in yesterday's program. Because, of course, we are. My cousin knows this woman whose next-door neighbor's aunt's girl married a guy who got killed on a motorcycle, and the hospital writ down that he died of COVID because the government pays hospitals to say people died of COVID. 10-4. Yeah. Cops. Right. What's that? Catanzara? His ended in an A. Catanzaro is the capital of Calabria region and province of the same name in Italy. Matt in San Francisco said, cops, should we change the motto on all the police cruisers to serve and infect? Ooh. Matt's got it going on. To serve and infect. And, of course, if one of them walks up to you and they're not wearing a mask and you roll your window, could you please put on your mask? There's a pandemic, dumbass. Out of the car, goddammit! Man. Oh, subject line, I love you more. Matt says, another one bites the dust. For me and all my contemporaries that I remember fondly who did not survive the AIDS pandemic, turnabout is fair play. Thanks for the laugh. It is. And the thing is, you know, we're not celebrating. These sleazy motherfuckers were celebrating. Because they're just, well, they're hateful. They're just hateful. Let's see here. Thanks, everybody, for letting me know that the stream went boogered. Thank you. Well, Jeremy in Vermont says, I like control. That's why I got the shot, to take control of something with the possibility to lay me flat permanently. Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to go for the dirt nap yet. I'm too young to go on the cart. Oh, don't be such a baby. I'm not dead. Well, you will be very, very soon. You're very ill. Maybe that scene needs to be changed from bring out your dead to bring out your dumbass. Because really, there are very few people in this country who are not vaccinated who have a legitimate reason not to. And so that leaves a great number of people as, you know, dumbasses. Ugh. Oh, what else? What else do we have? So much. So much more. I mean, we were talking about the cop union. Are there other unions out there? I mean, like, say, well, I don't know, the Teamsters or the steel workers or, the UA, you know, the pipe fitters. Are other national unions out there saying, you can't force our members to do something that will save their freaking lives? I don't know. Maybe it's just because cop unions are among the most vicious organizations in the country. Is that it? Is that why? Is that... Are they doing an asshole thing because they're just assholes? I mean, really? No. Having to take a vaccine is nothing at all like Nazi Germany. God. Well, now... we were talking about peril, and I said that he was probably furiously dictating away. It only took until a minute ago. Here it is.
If the story of dumbass General Mark Milley, the same failed leader who engineered the worst withdrawal from a country, Afghanistan, in U.S. history, leaving behind many dead and wounded soldiers, many American citizens, and $85 billion worth of the newest and most sophisticated military equipment in the world, and our country's reputation, is true, then I assume he would be tried for treason in that he would have been dealing with his Chinese counterpart behind the president's back and telling China that he would be giving them notification of an attack. Can't do that. The good news is that the story is fake news concocted by a weak and ineffective general together with two authors who I refuse to give an interview to because they write fiction, not fact.
Never mind the fact that the dumbass gave numerous interviews to Bob Woodward for his previous books.
Action should be taken immediately against Milley, and better generals in our military, of which we have many, should get involved so that another Afghanistan disaster never happens again. Remember, I was the one who took out 100% of the ISIS caliphate. Milley said it couldn't be done.
Yeah, he was also the guy who abandoned our allies to their brutal fate. And it was the women of the Kurds who really put the fear of Allah in ISIS.
I did it by myself. It was all me, definitely me. And if you say that, if you say anything otherwise, I won't be your friend anymore because I'm a little seventh grade girl.
No, let's take the gender out of it.
Because I'm just a seventh grader. For the record, I never even thought of attacking China. And China knows that. The people that fabricated the story are sick and demented, and the people who print it are just as bad. In fact, I'm the only president in decades who didn't get the U.S. into a war, a well-known fact that's seldom reported. Now I'm going to go and cry into my pillow because I'm sad.
And there's been... Yeah, blathering about Facebook. And California, because today's the big day. It's recall election day in California. I had a note from Cynthia saying, by God, her vote was in, and it had been counted. Kind of like what Sparky said the other day.
People don't realize that despite the rigged voting in California, I call it the swarming ballots. I got 1.5 million more votes in 2020 than I did in 2016. The place is so capital R rigged, however, that a guy who can't even bring water into their state, which I got federal approval to do, that's the hard part, will probably win. Billions of gallons of water coming to California from the north is being sent out to sea rather than being spread throughout the state. This is to protect the tiny Delta smelt, which is doing far worse now without the water. No.
The tiny Delta smelt is, of course, a fish.
This is to protect the tiny Delta smelt.
Again with the monkey and the pencil.
This is to protect the tiny Delta smelt, which is doing far worse now without the water. Being as it is a fish.
I added the fish part.
In any event, it all doesn't matter because the California election is totally rigged. Many people are already complaining that when they go vote, they're told, I'm sorry, you already voted, just like 2020, among many other things. They then leave angry, but fortunately, even the fake news media has been reporting it.
That was this afternoon at 12:23. Because I guess, you know, from the time he woke up to 12:23 was executive time and then lunchtime. Oh, no, we've had a correction. Ralph says, no, Robin, he'll go cry in his my pillow pillow.
He'll cry into my pillow, my pillow. My pillow.
Oh, God. How do we explain this? Flavio asks, quoting a New York Times article by Cheryl Gay Stolberg of September 12th. Ooh, I almost slipped into the Trump voice. Mississippi has some of the strictest vaccine mandates in the nation, which have not drawn opposition from most of its elected officials. Not only does it require children to be vaccinated against measles, mumps, and 7 other diseases to attend school, but it goes a step further than most states by barring parents from claiming religious, philosophical, or conscientious exemptions. Well, it's not that hard to explain, Flavia. It really, really isn't. The bottom line is that it's great politics. It's awesome politics if you're a Republican, if you're a maggot. Because Nitwit Nero's campaign for the presidency laid bare the fact that there is no rational Republican Party left in America. Remaining, not left, but there's it is a mad and insane rump party of disgruntled, disaffected, cranky old white people. That's all. And beginning with the Nitwit Nero campaign, they learned that the more stupid and outrageous the claim you make, the better the money flows in. And so at this point in time, Republican politicians, and, you know, Democrats too to a certain extent, but Republican politicians have learned that they can remain in permanent fundraising, permanent campaign mode just by getting out there and hollering Nazi about people getting a vaccine. And that the people they're talking to and the people that they're siphoning money from, well, they're not going to be bothered by goofy shit like history or crazy stuff like facts. That's how you explain that. In a state like Mississippi that doesn't want the wrong people voting, well, what happens is that, you know, once you've suppressed the vote, then you've got to get your side excited and multiplied. So in Mississippi, you know what? My old great grandpappy tried to stop the tyranny of Lincoln from coming down here, and he fought to his dying breath. Well, I will too, to protect your right to die on your back with a garden hose down your throat. And the fucker will be reelected or elected. And we talked about Madison Cawthorn. There's an entire bench of young, eager, hopeful right wingers who will ride the stupidity of their base into the grave, but also into office. Modern architecture, credit where credit is due, says Ron in Raleigh. Albert Speer was a hell of a good designer, Nazi that he was. I think it was for the patronage. But he wasn't quite good enough to explain to Hitler that his 1,000-year Reich Berlin was going to sink. It could not, the soil of Berlin could not hold the monumental architecture that Hitler wanted. Nazis is so stupid. And just by way of putting some meaning behind what we've been talking about with these mass cult covidiots, an interesting story coming, and horrifying, coming from KHN, Kaiser Health News. It's one of those news stories that begins with a personalizing story about the issue. It's a struggle for Joe Gammon to talk. Laying in his bed in the intensive care unit at Ascension St. Thomas Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee this month, he described himself as naive. If I would have known 6 months ago that this could be possible, this would have been a no-brainer. And at that point in time, He took a moment to use a suction tube to suck up the phlegm out of his gullet. But I honestly didn't think I was at any risk. And so Kaiser Health News points out that hospitals in Tennessee are setting new records every day, with more COVID patients coming every day, more than ever before. As of September 9, Tennessee's hospitals hold 3,846 of the more than 100,000 Americans who are hospitalized with COVID. And Kaiser Health News points out the most critical patients are almost all unvaccinated, and so the ICUs are full of sickness, and virus and regret. More than 50% of the inpatients are being treated for COVID in hospitals all over the Confederacy and parts of California and Oregon. Yeah. And Joe Gammon comes from Las Casas in Middle Tennessee. And the story would not be complete without this little factoid. And says he listens to a lot of conservative talk radio, which is actually, at this point in time, poisonous. The daily diatribes downplaying the pandemic and promoting personal freedom were enough to dissuade him from vaccination. I mean, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, and I sure do believe in the COVID vaccine now. It's too late for me to take it. I'm just glad I didn't get nobody as sick as I am so that they're in the ICU like me. How does he know that? He's got six kids. Before you say no to the vaccine, seek a second opinion. Just say no is irresponsible because it might not necessarily affect you. What if it affected your spouse or your child? You wouldn't want that. You sure wouldn't want that on your heart. If he gets well, I wonder if he'll go back to listening to right-wing talk radio. The outlook isn't good for Mr. Gammon. COVID has so thoroughly trashed his lungs that he can't even be put on a vent. Instead, he's on extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. That's the last hope for someone like him. And it at least provides him the ability to be conscious and speak and move around a little bit with nurses and technicians helping him. Yeah. He's looking at, if he survives, he's looking at months of rehab, possible permanent disability, possible lifelong dependence on oxygen. Critical care nurse Angie Gisowitz said, you know, we don't have people in the hospital suffering horrible reactions to the vaccine. Because where she works, the St. Thomas West ICU, the only people they're treating there are COVID patients. That's it. They don't have anybody in the ICU from, say, cancer, heart disease. No. They are all, to a person, COVIDiots. Almost all COVIDiots. And interviewed by Kaiser Health News, Nurse Gisowitz said, an elderly woman who was one of her patients and was isolated in the first few days to control the infection. And she said the old lady would wave at the nurses from her sealed room, and that she was just desperate for anybody to talk to. The first day I took care of her, she said, I guess I should have taken that vaccine. I said, well, yeah, honey, probably. But we're here where we are now, and let's do what we can for you. She didn't make it, the old lady. She died. She died at that hospital, where during the month of August, they had at least one person die per day. And well in excess of 98% of them were unvaccinated. And so while it is an emotional consideration, a question, do we mourn them? Do we grieve them? Do we grieve for them? Or do we grieve for their stupidity? I mean, at some point, at some level, and it's hard to talk about this. you know, they run around hooting about my body, my choice. And then the ramifications of that choice hit them. And a nurse Gisowitz looks at you and says, well, honey, I wish you'd taken it too, but here we are, and it's all we can do, so let's just do what we can do. And she probably knew the old lady was going to die. And it's just pathetic. It is heartbreaking. And it is nothing to celebrate. But there's only so long that we can beg and plead and implore and to no avail. To no avail. Let's go check in with Flavio. Hey, Flavio.
Hey, I haven't called in a long while.
It's been a little bit.
My apologies. I just feel that with so many great interlocutors over there, I'm kind of taken aback by the eloquence. And I'm never very eloquent.
No, you are not without your own eloquence. Quit sandbagging.
But I just want to throw this out there. It pisses me off, you know, that there are, the U.S. has these incredible bureaucracies that have institutional memory and experience and, you know, stuff that in poorer countries of the world is very hard to come by because, you know, dictatorships and the difficulty of establishing a lasting, effective bureaucracy, okay? And some bureaucracies are good, you know? I think of the U.S. Postal Service, which is phenomenal. And then all it takes is one horrible person to, you know, throw a wrench into it. But my question is, okay, you have the Federal Trade Commission. You have the Food and Drug Administration. You have, I mean, those are just, you know, parts, there are countries in the world that only wish they had, you know, organizations like that in part of the government. Why can't you mount a fraud investigation or what's the right word that I'm looking for? Why can't you go after people that use the airwaves or the FCC or the Federal Trade Commission? Go after these people that are promoting. Look at Tucker Carlson. Every night he goes on and he insinuates.
He might as well be shooting people. And if he was shooting people, we could
be shooting people.
But we could do something about that.
You know, Trump was right. He could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue or whatever, and get away with it, and not lose any votes, and get away with it because there's no. Why doesn't Biden, some smart person in Biden's administration...
Let's take a run at this.
Use the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, the Federal Communications Commission, to go after these people that day in, day out, poison the airwaves.
Well, the FCC has next to no jurisdiction over cable programming. I mean, that's why HBO
exists. But the Federal Trade Commission.
But hold on there. It's not the Federal Trade Commission or the FCC. It is our, and I've been talking about this for years, and I feel kind of creepy about it because it makes it sound like I don't believe in free speech when I do. But it is our fetishized approach to the First Amendment. By analogy, let's look at it another way. Let's do this. You know what the Sherman Act is?
Antitrust.
Yeah. We have a law on the books, and it's as clear as something that complicated can be. When is the last time you heard of a corporation being taken down on a Sherman Act claim?
Yeah, because they're gobbling up, like Facebook gobbles Instagram, gobbles this, gobbles that, and there's nothing
right
that's done.
So it's not for want of a statute; it is for want of enforcement. And I feel a little sketchy about that. Because, if we talk about, for instance, more meaningful laws to protect people from being, murdered by lawful gun owners, the standard stock-in-trade answer of the NRA was, hey, we have enough laws as it is, all we got to do is enforce the ones that we have. And then, of course, if you try to enforce the ones that you have, the NRA says, hey, you're stealing our freedom. Right?
Right.
It's the same thing with the First Amendment. We had, and it's been on the books for a long time, on the books being a, we have laws against incitement. And the old, the old saws, we've referred to it time and time and time again, is you can't yell fire in a crowded theater because that causes a deadly panic and people will die from the panic instead of dying from the fire. And you especially can't yell fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire. That's what makes it illegal speech. We have concepts of illegal speech in this country, but we are loath to apply them.
It's just unnerving.
And we have a Supreme Court that has no interest in applying it. And we've seen them in action. And so if someone were to try to enforce something against an Alex Jones or a Tucker Carlson or any of these other toxic homicidal maniacs, you would be able to hear the shrieking and howling from the moon. The sound would actually travel through a vacuum.
Yeah, I'm at a loss because this is passing ridiculous. Any other country, civilized country, would put the kibosh on that.
I mean, do you really think so?
They don't have a fetishized First Amendment.
No, they don't. But they also don't seem they're not. The non-authoritarian countries don't seem much to act either, do they?
You don't have institutions like Fox News in France.
And yet they have their own right-wing propaganda problems. We saw that in the run-up to the election that resulted in the election of Emmanuel Macron.
Yeah, he squeaked through, didn't he? He almost didn't make it.
It's kind of like what Dave Number 11 was talking about last night with anytime there's a story that shows up in the comment threads of a news outlet, like a regional news outlet, the Russian troll farm goes into overdrive.
I think that perhaps there are some countries that are better prepared for that, because I'm just just to cite two examples, okay? France is one of them, but my favorite example is Finland. Finland actually trains its citizens to spot that. You've read, I trust you've read some accounts of that.
I have.
That they actually, because they've had experience with the Russians being so close to them, you know, that they...
And having a history of handing Russians their ass.
Exactly. So that, but I wish I could find, I will try to dig up that story. It's fairly recent, but they include that media literacy in their curricula. And I wish we did that here, you know. But it's just so depressing. I mean...
And without a doubt, it is a teachable skill. That's what I was talking about in the last program, about that one little story about the alleged story about the pregnant, the woman 11 months or 11 weeks pregnant, who had sued her dirtbag boyfriend who impregnated her for child support for her fetus. And you read it, and it played into my confirmation bias. I'm like, this is cool. And then, and you know, I've got a little bit of a good bit of training in this. And one of the first things you do is you trust your instinct. If you've got a history in journalism, as I do, and when something inside you says, no, this ain't right. Well, you learn to trust that, and you start going, and then eventually you see the word satire, and you go, ah, you little prick.
Yeah.
Because if something is too good to be true, it generally is.
It generally is, yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, but that would be nice if we had... No, we have a great administration. I am in awe of President Biden. I didn't expect him to be this awesome in only so many few months, you know.
Right, and he could be awesomer. Let's be clear.
No, but come on. I fell for the senile trope. I mean, the imputation that somehow he's going senile, until I learned that he has a speech deficiency that he remedied over time that still is with him, that he has to struggle against. And a speech impediment that doesn't impede him. He just has to learn to live with it and
right.
work around it. But
and
even
let me go ahead.
My little brother was like falling for this, and now I feel ashamed because you know, I had a slight stutter earlier in life. I don't think I have it anymore, but I used to have it. And I have people with disabilities in my family, and yet I fell for the propaganda. You know, the Jimmy Dores, you know, calling him senile and, you know,
yeah, who would not last an entire work day, let alone a clock day, in that job.
Mm-mm.
It would consume him in a day, and it would do that to a lot of us.
But getting back to what I wanted to say was, I wish I want him to
push the envelope further and actually go after these people that, you know, like, did you see the thing that I posted about Trudeau? Trudeau in Canada, he actually put Rebel News in its place. Did you see that? It was cold.
I don't think I did.
I tagged you on it because it was important. It was Rebel News is like, you remember Gavin McInnes?
Oh, very much. Founder of the Proud Boys.
That was one of the luminaries behind Rebel News. So it's like, oh, it's to the right of Onan, the news.
The network that spills its news upon the ground? Yeah.
That's it, exactly. It's to the right of that. And they were questioning why, you know, he didn't, they accused him of not allowing Rebel News in the debates. I guess there are some parliamentary debates going on for elections, whatever, in Canada. I'm not very familiar with Canadian politics, but he said, you know, he had nothing to do with that. That was another commission. And then he, you know, took the scalpel to them and said, and besides, you're not really a news network, but, you know, he just, oh, he laid into them. I kind of wish we had somebody like that. I think Obama did that once with Fox News.
Well, Jen Psaki's been having Fox for lunch on a regular basis.
Yeah, Jen Psaki. But no, I'd like.
And she is the way things are structured. She is the public voice of this administration. And you know what's more, Biden has been pushing back. He is disgusted. And he's making it clear that he is. So,
tell me. I mean, just
well, no. I mean, the way in the last week that he's gone after the maggot governors.
Oh, that's wonderful. That was music to my ears. And the way he paused and he said that he was, you know, he said that. No. I'll let you tell it. What were his exact words?
I don't have the quote in front of me, but he said, and he had harsh words for people, for anti-vaxxers, for people who resist the vaccine.
You have cost us.
I think
that
you're right. Yeah.
Awesome. You have, you know, patience is wearing thin, and you have cost us. And just him saying that was awesome. No, I gotta give it props to him. But I'd like to see that more.
Well, as it continues, I think I think we will see it more. Because a whole lot of people have run right out of patience.
Because these people are evil.
They are.
Evil. I know that's a theological word. I think Malloy said something to the effect that I hate using that word because
it's with myth and yeah.
But I have no problem using it. Because these people are freaking evil. They're causing people to die. They are dividing the country. And I live here. Home's where you hang your hat.
Right, sure.
This is my home. I'm a legal resident. I'm not naturalized yet.
But this is my home. I do not wish to see it divided and hurt. Okay?
I'm right home. There with you.
This is my home.
It is a hard thing to stomach that there are people in your home who would like to see you dead.
Yeah. That's what I call. This is my home, and I'm not going back to Brazil. I'm too old. I didn't contribute to the treasury. I don't have Social Security from that.
Right.
I live here. This is my home. This is where I'll die. And I don't, you know.
And you love where you live. Because you live in a beautiful place.
It is the most beautiful place. And I don't want it to be debased like this. This is it. I can't believe that there's so many people that would do it in like this. You know?
Yeah.
That will go and spend the 4th of July in Moscow, you know, like our dear Senator Ron Johnson, you know.
And others.
I don't know how so many people got in, but it was a gradual thing, and you know, it was a gradual process where, you know, it started with Newt Gingrich, the contract on America. It started back then.
That was kind of what I was talking about at the beginning of the program, with, you know, Chris Saliza fawning over W. How did he manage to forget the two illegal wars? How did he manage to forget the pathetic lies that led us into those two illegal wars of choice? How do you just blow past that and not even fucking mention it, Flavio?
I think you saw my post about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was some really bad acid.
Yeah, no shit. Hey, Chris Saliza, don't take the brown acid.
Don't take the brown acid. It's really bad. It's like, how can you forget?
Makes you see shit.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, it's almost as though, you know, he was rehabilitated.
Ugh. Yeah. And it's like Randy asking, how does Dick Cheney keep slipping by? Well, not with me.
Is the unannounced grease?
I guess, yeah. Well chosen phrase that.
He was always the one behind. What is it? The Wizard of Oz, the guy behind the.
Yeah, they don't look behind the curtain.
That was the guy behind the curtain. That was the guy, you know, with the hand up.
It's dinner. It's dinner time somewhere, Flavio. Don't go there. You mentioned Tucker Carlson. That brings to mind Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and you know, President Biden started some shit too by talking about Fox News's vaccine mandate. Well, you know, and you know, they don't smart.
He did. He had. I listened to that speech. I listened to as much as I can, because we're living history, you know.
Yeah.
I listened to it as much as I can. Jen Psaki's press conferences.
Well, and so, you know, he called, hey, you know, even Fox News has a vaccine mandate, and right-wing heads exploded all over America. Boom. What?
Yeah.
What?
You know, it's like,
what?
I caught that. I didn't miss that.
And so now news has come out that via CNN and Oliver Darcy. There's an internal memo from Fox Corporation Human Resources, the head there, Kevin Lord, and he says 90% of full-time employees reported they are fully vaccinated. Because Fox News even required them to upload their vaccination status into its central database. And the remaining 10% will be daily COVID tested. And right-wing heads really are continuing to explode. But I got one more thing I would add to that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to add the daily COVID test, just like Joe Biden wants. Make the people who refuse the vaccine pay for their own COVID tests, because they hear only through their wallets.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And allow insurance companies perhaps to. I hate letting insurance companies deny anything. But tell the insurance companies.
I work for them. I don't like them.
And so tell the insurance companies, you get to deny coverage for COVID tests for people who can get the vaccine but haven't. Make them pay out of their own pockets. They'll go get the vaccine pretty damn quick.
I thought it was genius when thinking on his part to use OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration. I thought it was genius for him to roll out the mandate based on that, because who wants, you want to work in a safe workplace.
Yeah.
And if you got everybody unvaccinated, that's not a safe workplace. And I thought, wow, workplace safety, You don't want to be, you don't want to be sliced, because a crane fell or something, you want to make sure that crane doesn't fall on you, even though you're wearing a hard hat. So you got to make sure the crane, follows certain guidelines, and the operator is not drunk, right, and those are all good things, and people are vaccinated. You don't want to go in a workplace
COVID sucks. And people who are vaccinated are getting sick, but they are mostly not dying, and they are mostly not even going to the hospital. They just feel kind of crappy for a few days. The vaccine works
amazingly,
and has the power to reduce COVID to an annoyance as opposed to a plague.
Yeah.
But we are not a very good country right now. I mean, if I am an adversary of the United States, I'm looking at this and going, my God, they'd fall if we pushed them. They have feet of clay and knees of Play-Doh and hips of silly putty. They can be had for a song. Because that's what that's what these mask-hole COVIDiot spreadnecks, these maggots, are telling the world.
What was it that you said on W.C. Fields? The three
commandments? You can't cheat an honest man, never give a sucker an even break, and don't smarten up a chump.
You can't cheat an honest man. And there's a lot of dishonest people among us.
Yes.
That make us vulnerable.
I mean, I think the lottery kind of proves that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pay my $2 or $3 or whatever it is now. And whoo wee, man, when those 1 in 29 million odds or 290 million odds, whatever they are, catch up with me, and I win it, whoo wee.
See, that's where I learned from seeing everybody else buy 300 tickets at once and
win $15.
Yeah, I only buy one. I only buy one, and once in a blue moon, when the jackpot is like a bazillion dollars, like 300.
Yeah, and that's a different level of interesting behavior. You know, the people who only buy when the jackpot is like lots of millions of dollars, and because who wants $1 million? I mean, you reduce that to present.
You're only going to win the jackpot with one ticket.
Yeah,
you're not going to win the. You're not going to win the jackpot with multiple tickets. Okay, it's one ticket then.
Yeah, it's the same odds with every ticket.
Right. So you're going to win the jackpot not with 10,000 tickets. You're going to win the jackpot with one ticket.
Yeah, but I don't want that shitty little $2 million jackpot. I want the big one. I want the half a billion.
Okay. I think I buy a lottery ticket twice a year or something.
Kind of like going to church, Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, if I win, that's awesome. But, you know, that's just... I willingly throw away $2 a year. Just for kicks and giggles. Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I've seen friends that are just like, are you fucking nuts? Those are scratch-offs. Are you... What the fuck?
Those are scratch-offs, asshole.
What the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? You just bought 300 of them. Oh, my fucking God.
Well, it says right there on the back that your odds are 1 in 3, or 1 in 4, or 1 in 5.
Oh,
so you got to buy 5.
No. This guy in Racine, when I was working in Racine, this buddy of mine would actually get like $100 worth of full tabs. I kid you not.
I know.
It was just so depressing. It's like, no, you did not just do that. And he would sit there and pull down and... But what are you going to do?
Well, you know, don't make any long-term plans, because Nitwit Nero gave an interview to Newsmuck. Because Spicy has a job at Newsmuck now.
Oh.
Yeah. And proving the assertion of General Milley that he is in steep mental decline. Well, the former guy. Well, I'll just give you a little taste here. Come on, where'd it go? Oh, you know what really helps? When you actually unmute the pot.
Okay.
The people of our country respect us, they love our country, and they want to see our country succeed. And our country has gone really downhill in the last 8 months like nobody's ever seen before. And you go to these elections that are coming up in 22 and 24, we're not going to have a country left. The election was rigged, and we're not going to have a country left in 3 years. I'll
Mr. President,
you
you've been very generous with your time. Thank you for that. Before I...
Yeah, you got... Okay, got to go now. What was that, the asshole from Idaho? Somebody pushed his button. Oh, yeah, okay, goodbye. You know, when you're too nutty, when you're too much of a nutter for Spicy, you're too much of a nutter. Yeah, but we're not going to have a country. 3 years, we're not going to have a country. There's no country. It's not going to exist anymore.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know, man. But I think we're in good hands with Joe Biden, and I wish Jen Psaki would stay on a little longer, but I guess she is leaving. Well, let's hope they get somebody as good as she is, because she's just awesome. She really is. She just...
Yeah, it was. I mean, she said, compared to the third-rate, cut-rate yahoos
Don't compare. Don't even compare.
I mean, just for the sheer entertainment value of watching, like, you know, a cobra and a mouse, it would be fun to see her debate, Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags.
Who was
the little attack blonde?
Oh, McEnany?
Yeah, McEnany. Kali McEnany.
No, but she reminds me, Jen Psaki reminds me of a grade school teacher that I had a crush on. She was also I don't remember her name because it's so long ago. But I just remember that she had this amazing, amazing patience. You might also call it sang-froid. You know, the French word, you know, the cold blood.
Cold blood, sang-froid.
The cold blood that she was ever unfazed. And, you know, when she said something, you pretty much abided by it because she was very laconic, you know. And, but...
Ooh, another good word.
She was just very, she was immovable. She was basically, my way or the highway, but she did it.
Intractable.
Intractable, yeah. She did it in such a way that you were glad that you were, at your service, ma'am. You know, it's like...
Yeah, how can I help you, ma'am? Yes, ma'am.
How can I help you? It's like... She just, you know, as opposed to other people that you're like, you must be kidding. You know, no, that she was, you know, the real deal. And that's what... Jen Psaki reminds me of that. She just has that peremptory delivery and tone, and you know, and but she isn't insulting. It's like, yeah, I'm glad to be of service. You know, like, oh, okay.
Happy I could help.
We've all, I hope so. We've had bosses like that were glad to be. I hope. I had one of my. Can I talk about one of my favorite bosses?
Absolutely. You got a couple of minutes.
Okay, I was a salesperson, my boss was an Air Force guy from Louisville, Kentucky, Barry. And he was the best boss I ever had. Tremendous boss and motivational. And he got me to increase my sales quota and everything when I was selling. I was selling insurance, and he was just an incredible motivational speaker, and he trained people really well. And his thing was that, you know, always follow the chain of command, and, you know, be loyal. You know, just come to me first if you got any problems or anything. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful boss. How many bosses is a community, you know?
Yeah, that doesn't happen every day.
No, and he would go to bat for you against management. You know, he was my immediate manager, and he would go to bat in the company for me because I was a good salesperson, and that's who Jen Psaki reminds me of. He was a Air Force sergeant, I guess.
There are sergeants in the Air Force, yes.
Yeah, really nice guy. Really just phenomenal. But anyway, I caught the show in medias res, kind of, because I had to run some errands. I've been dealing with osteoarthritis of the knees.
Ouch. That sucketh.
And I got a second shot of Depo-Medrol, the cortisone, in Wednesday, the 1st of September. So it's just now kicking in, and it feels really good, and I'm walking all over the place, and it's good to be alive again. But my God, when I need to lose weight, because, you know, I guess my doctor said that suddenly, I'm not horribly, but I'm 260 pounds, 6 foot tall, and I really should be like 200, so I'm like 60 pounds overweight. So it would help.
Yeah, I think you can take it off.
I would love to. And I'm 60 pounds overweight, and it's just inactivity. The last year was brutal because, you know, you didn't want to leave the house. I have no gym in my building, you know, so it's not like I can exercise or anything, you know. I've managed to remain COVID-free, but at what cost? You know, I haven't, for a whole year or more, I haven't walked, you know, because I don't want to get infected. And then the vaccine came out, and I got vaccinated. But I'm still kind of hesitant to, like...
Well, but you mask up, and especially now, enjoy it while you can, because you're going to be freezing your ass off soon.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's the thing. I was out. I only caught an hour of the program today because I was out running errands. But keep on keeping on.
Thank you. I will try.
I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the horn. And you're doing a wonderful job, and again, congratulations.
Thank you.
So the 9th of November is the big day.
It's not far away.
No, it isn't. It's like everything goes so fast. So, again, All the best.
Thank you, Flavio. Thank you so much.
And you take good care, and I'll call back.
I think that would be a lovely idea. Do that. Flavio, take care, my friend.
Take good care.
All right. Bye now. Our good friend Flavio up in Wisconsin. And it's time to get out of here. We did knock down about $100 of what we needed to do, and that means that we've got about $230 to finish Friday's funding, and then yesterday's and today's. Grand total of about $830. Sure could use the help. Anybody wants to jump in and at least to help us finish out last week's funding would be wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you, Shorty. That's so sweet. You know what? You cannot stop the horn from loving you. That's lovely. Thank you, guys. Thank you all. Probably need to get you guys out of my vocabulary. But thank you. Dave number 11 with some encouraging words. Yay, Flavio. Thanks, Dave. So tomorrow's prayer meeting Wednesday, and I guess we're going to be looking at a four-digit fundraising hole at this point. 1140 if it doesn't come down overnight. This is kind of the thin part of the subscription month. Thanks to each and every one of you who, with your Patreon and PayPal subscriptions, are partial sponsors of the program and help keep it on the air. Thanks to all of our a la carte contributors. You're the only reason this exists, and sometimes it's really a struggle, and this is one of those times. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. And thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and implore them to please, please, co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And Coal River Mountain Watch, now celebrating 100% more union participation. It's a union shop, y'all. Proud of that. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Do everything you can. Use all your first-line defenses. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands. Use your hand sanitizer. Take it with you everywhere. Use it frequently and liberally. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, according to Paul from Parts Unknown. Wear your mask. And, you know, for God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you saying, hoo-ah, I'm resigning my commission because I will not have a serum injected into my body. Hoo-ah! Avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Later.